All right. We have our next guests here. I want to welcome my good friend Martha King and John King. They've just arrived on the field today, and you guys flew in, didn't you?
Yeah, we had fun doing it. At least we think we did. I was captain on the leg into Wichita, and we fueled up in case there were any delays coming into the Oshkosh area. And then John got to be captain on the next leg in.
Now, do you actually switch seats when you do that?
We do.
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
We do. And she, Martha's, I need to make it clear, Martha's only a little bit better pilot than I am. And she's generally way out ahead of the airplane, way out ahead of me, and nothing ever catches her by surprise. She's a better risk manager. And if you ask me what makes a good pilot, it would be are they a good risk manager? She's far better at it than I am.
Well, were there risks to manage?
This time of year, there's always thunderstorms. They weren't a significant issue on this particular flight, but as folks who've flown into AirVenture in previous years well know, they certainly can be. And it's a risk only in the sense of when you're on the ground, but it's hot everywhere.
Oh, it was 103 the other day here.
Yeah.
Wow.
It doesn't take long to get sweaty here. The other risk coming into Oshkosh every time is the other airplanes around. I mean, this is something almost 10% of the United States fleet of airplanes is here on the ground in this area at one time, and are all arriving and departing while we are. And so delays are a factor, looking out the window is another factor, and that to me is a big risk here.
Well, now, the airplane you're flying, you have to have a slot, don't you? You come in IFR.
We come in
That's
IFR.
That's correct.
Right. So we had a slot. And actually, for the last 2 years, we've been flying into Appleton. For 20 over 25 years, we've flown into Oshkosh, but the last couple of years, we went into Appleton.
And the choice there is, again, a risk management choice.
Well, it is. It's a lot simpler. There are fewer airplanes going into Appleton. The traffic is less crowded, less likely to have to spend a lot of time circling and using fuel and depleting your fuel supply. So it's just a lot less stress. And I feel almost guilty because it's been a great thrill for many years to participate in this wonderful event of flying into Oshkosh. It's one of the most exciting trips in the world.
It is, and I think everybody should do it at least once.
Absolutely.
But if you're going to fly into this show, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to prepare for it. There's a NOTAM, and it is the NOTAM of all NOTAMs, yes?
Absolutely. And in fact, every year I order two of them from EAA because I mark one of them up I mark them both up very thoroughly, but we carry one in the cockpit of the airplane, and then we keep one in our hotel room so that we can refer to it when we're getting ready to leave and do a restudy on it. Okay, now exactly what do they want you to do and when and how do we do it and what's the traffic flow like and transponder on or transponder off, landing lights on or landing lights off, and just there's a lot there to do. It's a fabulous thing, accomplishment to have flown in. As you say, everybody should do it, but they need to be on their game in order to do it, and they need to have pre-studied.
There's another example of Martha being way ahead of me. She's got all of this all planned out. She briefs me, and I go, oh, okay, I'll take care of it, you know. But she's way ahead, and very often she'll be the captain, I'll be the co-pilot. She wants to make sure I'm smart. It's hard to get me smart, so she works on it.
Well, that's okay. I had a my bad of my own where my husband and I recently acquired a digital charting. You know what I mean.
Right, right.
We've got a tablet now that we have our charts on. And that was a big thing to let go of the paper. I think there's a certain emotional side, too, to having the paper charts. But, you know, they weigh a lot. They're wasteful. And there's a lot of filing involved.
Yeah.
And the magic of having them all on this one tablet and touch and go is marvelous. But you know, it's not that easy in a small plane when you're bumping around and in the moment sometimes to get exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And we were heading west through the mountains near Missoula, and the pass just closed in. All of a sudden I said, that's snow.
Wow.
And yeah. He went, oh, yeah, no, we're not doing snow. So we started to descend. Well, okay, good. Now it was rain, but it was raining. And he said, well, I think we're going to land in Missoula. It's just up there. I said, well, okay, call the tower. And he started call the tower, and I started looking. And the reality was that I'd done a lot of work in one program that I liked a lot, but he liked a different app. And so we had the different app up. And I couldn't get the approach plate up fast enough.
Right.
And fortunately, it really wasn't that bad. He already had the clearance, and he was quite adamant about wanting the ILS.
Right.
And I looked up and went, there's the Pappies.
Yeah.
There's the runway.
Right, why don't we just aim to the runway?
Yeah. Fly it. But I felt terrible, because here I was, a new mode, a new technology, but it wasn't the way that I had learned to pull up an approach plate. And I literally never got that approach plate up. I mean, he called, got progressives, and we were fine on the ground. But boy, I felt like there was mud on my face.
But you've got a lot of company, because everybody is struggling with what is the best way to use the technology that is here, particularly the iPad, because, as you said, different people like to use different apps, and even in the same app, they like to set it up differently as far as how you access in-route charts versus approach plates and stuff like that. One of the neat things that is now available is the ability to take the iPad into a flight training device, a simulator, and through a Bluetooth wireless connection and some software, you can spoof the iPad, if you will, so that the iPad believes, its location layer believes, that it is wherever the simulator is.
I've seen this. I've seen this at the Redbird stand,
as a matter of fact.
And you guys have done some work with that company.
We have, and we are marketing those for Redbird. And the program is called Cygnus. It uses the Bad Elf GPS, and it's got special software to spoof the simulator.
Spoof the iPad.
That is wonderful, and I would absolutely prescribe that for everybody. Now, you guys said one of the reasons you like to come here is to see this kind of new technology.
Well, you know, the technology is just exploding, and it's exploding in general aviation. There's a book by a guy named Peter Diamandis. He was the head of the XPRIZE, and the book is called Abundance. And what he's saying is our life is changing dramatically because of technology, and we're not going to be thinking of limitations and running out of resources. We're going to actually wind up thinking of about a abundance in the future. And right now, technology is abundant in general aviation. With simulation, as you talked about, Redbird simulators that are full motion and 210 degrees of visuals, and they have changed how we can learn to fly. We can now do a lot of our training downtown in a building using a simulator and then take it out to the airport, so that people who have difficulty making the trip to the airport can get a lot of training done near where they live. And so the airports
becomes much less weather dependent, right. Also.
That's really important, because we had made a pact with ourselves that we weren't flying IFR in the mountains,
right.
Because the airplane's really not set up for that.
Right.
And so, you know, to have that moment come along where you go, huh, remember what we said?
Yeah.
Okay, then let's do this,
mm-hmm.
You know, and do what you said and say what you do. Plan what you fly what you plan, and have a plan B and a C. I mean, those are really important things, and technology's making it easier for you to make those decisions.
And it's going to, for instance, if you can with a little program spoof the iPad, you can now, so it knows where you are based on the simulator. You can now get practice right at home on using this for approaches, getting the approach right up, making the decision about which program program you like the best and how you like to operate it. And that's a far better place to learn that than in the airplane.
Oh, yes. Oh,
particularly
yes.
in a mountain pass in the rain.
Or in the snow.
Pass in the rain and the snow.
Yeah.
It's really a funny thing. And particularly, you know, I'm a Florida girl. I saw that snow and I went, but it's June.
Yeah, what is that white stuff?
Well, I think one of the coolest things I've seen out here was the voice activation system for the legacy Garmin products and the ability to just tell it the intersections and the Victor Airways and have it cross-fill and flow the flight plan right in so that you just have to push a button down and talk into the mic, push it again, say the word enter, and it populates and it's TSO'd.
Isn't
all
that wonderful?
Ready to go. And that kind of magic is going to help make these products so much more usable for us.
Well, and it's going to be things like the iPad. You can use it in a cockpit. It's off the shelf, and it gives us so much capability. Martha and I are kind of slow learners, and it took us a while to get around to the iPads. We started off with another electronic chart system.
But I don't call that slow learner. I call that not an early adopter.
Oh, you're so nice. You're so nice.
And you watched, and you let the stuff mature.
Sure. Well, while we matured at the same time, but we also had, for a while, electronic on one side and paper on the other side, and then we have two iPads in the airplane.
Yeah.
But the fabulous thing is that, you know, we've got two iPads, one on each side, but in addition to the iPads, we've got the chart on our iPhones.
So you have backup to your backup.
Backup to the backup.
That's a beautiful thing, and that's all a part of risk management. Guys, we're coming to the end of our segment, and I really want you to be able to tell people where they can get more information about the stuff that you guys are working on these days.
Okay, well, here at Oshkosh, we have a booth, which is A.
In Hangar A, it's booth 1131. Okay. And if they're not here at Oshkosh or want to contact us afterwards, our website is kingschools.com.
That's KingSchools.com.
Very good, Amy.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here on Around the Patch today. You guys have a great show.
Thank you, Amy.